We're opening our Bibles to read God's Word in John's Gospel, chapter 4, fourth chapter of John's Gospel, very familiar portion of the Gospels. We're going to read some verses here, but before we read, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we do rejoice for thy presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for these psalms and hymns and praises that we've been singing together, reminding us of these great truths, reminding us especially of thy grace and thy love toward us. We thank thee for the privilege of being gathered here this morning and the privilege of being able to open up thy word, conscious that in so many parts of the world, this is not allowed. But we pray, Father, that thy blessing will rest upon us here as we now read from thy word, as we meditate upon it. We pray that we will know the anointing of the Spirit of God himself. Come, Lord, and breathe upon us. Quicken us by thy Spirit. Stir us up and grant to us, Lord, a fresh vision of thyself and of thy work. We ask these things in our Savior's blessed and worthy name. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 4, commencing to read at the 31st verse. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. End our reading of that verse, knowing that the Lord will add his own divine blessing to this reading from his own precious and infallible truth. I want briefly this morning to draw your attention to the words that we find at the end of verse 35. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking with his disciples, says, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The Lord Jesus on this occasion is leading his disciples through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem. This is a part of their missionary training. The time would soon come when he would give to them that great command prior to his ascension into heaven to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These disciples were not yet ready spiritually for that command. They were ready to go and preach the gospel to the Jewish people throughout the world, but certainly not to the Gentile world. And so the Lord leads them here into Samaria to the end that he will prepare their hearts and their minds so that that great commission will be fulfilled, and amongst every tribe and tongue and nation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will be proclaimed, beginning with these very disciples. If you look at that verse that we have taken as our text this morning, you will see that it contains 3 commands. And we want to think about those commands this morning as we think in particular about the work that the Lord has called us to in Madrid, in Spain. The first command that is given here is to lift up your eyes. And in that command, we have a clear identification of a great and divine blessing. The fact that the Lord says to these disciples to lift up their eyes, he wasn't speaking merely about their physical eyes, which of course is a tremendous blessing from the Lord, but he was speaking primarily about their spiritual eyes. There was a time when these men did not have these spiritual eyes. The Bible reminds us of that. The Bible tells us that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. So it was with these disciples. So it was with us. We can go back in our mind's eye. We can remember that time. Yes, we can remember those who came with great enthusiasm to preach the gospel or to testify to us concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, that witness, that testimony meant absolutely nothing to us. We did not have the eyes to be able to see or to be able to appreciate the message that was being proclaimed to us at that particular time. But then there came a time when there was a miracle wrought within our hearts. The glorious gospel, or the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, shone into our hearts to the end, as the Bible reminds us, our minds were enlightened. And for the first time, we were able to see. We were able to appreciate the one who had taken our place, the one who had died the just for the unjust to bring us unto God. And for the first time, and we can still recall it in our hearts, we saw the Lord in all his beauty and in all his glory. And in our hearts, there was established that desire, the desire of the Lord himself, to bring others into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, from that very moment, we became instruments. We became messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there is also in this first command the indication of a very real problem. The Lord has to say to these disciples, lift up your eyes. Indicating that though they had this spiritual sight, though they had received this blessing from the Lord, though they were able to see as the Lord sees, yet their sight was being distracted. And so the Lord has to say to them to lift up their eyes. There were other things, you see, that had come in. There are other things that had taken the place of that spiritual vision that the Lord had given to them. We read here in this passage that the disciples, and remember, the Lord has come into Samaria. He's here at the well. He's speaking with the woman at the well. He's revealing himself to her. She's coming to this same realization. She's coming to see that before her stands the Messiah. And in a moment of time, her life, her heart is transformed, and she becomes a new creature in Christ. And the disciples, meanwhile, they had gone off to buy food. They were engaged, we might say, in legitimate things, in necessary things. And they come back, and they see the Lord speaking here with the woman at the well of Samaria. And they are amazed. Because we read in this portion that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now the Lord has brought them into Samaria to the end that he would prepare their hearts so that they would have a vision not only for their own city, not only for their own nation, but also for the other nations of the world. And so he says to them here, lift up your eyes, get your eyes away from the things that have been a distraction to you. And I have to say, and I'm sure it is true, that all of us here, in some time or in some degree, we have known what it is spiritually to lose the vision. We have known what it is for other things, material. Sometimes, like the disciples, the legitimate things have creeped in. And with the result that we have lost the vision that once we had for the Lord. Maybe I'm speaking to someone in this meeting this very morning, and that is your condition. You're here in the service, and we thank the Lord for that, but yet in your heart you know that there is not there the vision, there is not there the burden that once was for the lost. for those who are without Christ, even in your own family. And maybe the Lord wants to say to you, if that's your condition, the Lord does want to say to you this morning, lift up your eyes. Get your gaze away from the things that have been distracting you. If it's been the world, well, forsake the world. If it has been legitimate things, well, put them into the right place and seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And this morning, as the Lord gives us this command, I want us in this meeting to have this clear vision, to be able to see. We want to lift up our eyes, and as the Lord in His providence has provided, we want to focus, we want to think about Spain. Now, you will know, those of you who have followed the work, the missionary work of our church, and in particular in Spain, and us personally, you will know that down through the years, from time to time, we send back reports, missionary reports, and we'll tell of the things that the Lord is doing to encourage you to pray. And in all of those reports, we will always ask for specific prayer for specific individuals. And just the Sabbath day before we come back, I was standing in the pulpit, I was looking over the congregation, and I just realized that the young couples who were there in our services, you know, when we get out there, some of them weren't even born. Some of them were just babes in their mother's arms. And there they were in our service. And they're there with their own little families. And they have the desire to see them one for Christ. Though that is an answer to your prayer. We have asked down through the years, and we have named every single one of them. We've asked you to pray for them, and you have prayed for them. And God has answered prayer, and the Lord has been pleased to save them. So I want to say that for your encouragement this morning to pray on, because there are others that we want you to pray for. But of course, not all the ones that we asked prayer for went on to be saved or went on with the Lord. We lament some cases. I'm thinking of two individuals in particular. The Bible does tell us that we are to cast our bread upon the waters, and it will return unto us after many days. And of course, that's what we're all doing. Every time we give testimony, every time we preach the gospel, we're casting our bread upon the waters. And sometimes we don't see results until after many, many years. And that was the case of these two individuals. I'm thinking of Alberto. Alberto was a young man of 12, 13 years of age. His mother's a member of the church. But Alberto took the decision that he was no longer interested in coming to church. And so he made his own way in the world. And I have to say, he has done that very successfully. Successful businessman and married a nice wife and two children. Well, about 2 years ago, surprisingly, Alberto started to attend our services again, come along with his mother. And on different occasions, I've had the opportunity to talk with Alberto in the gospel. And the last time I spoke with him, he assures me that he has come to Christ. He assures me that he is saved, that he knows the grace of God in his life. Well, I say, Alberto, if you're saved, you know, you have a responsibility. And for the sake of testimony, you ought to be associate, you ought to be a member of the local church. He says, Juan, I know that. But he says, I want to share with you a problem, a difficulty. And I want you to pray about it. He says, my wife, she has no problem with me coming to the service. In fact, she encourages me, but she has absolutely no interest in the gospel. I have two sons. They have no interest in the gospel as well. I don't want my profession of faith in any way to bring any kind of obstacle or be a hindrance in our marriage or in our home. Juan, will you get the people in Alcorcón to pray for my wife and for my family? And so I put that before you this morning. Please take Alberto upon your hearts. Remember his wife. Remember his two boys. That in the same way the Lord has dealt with Alberto, the Lord will also deal with his wife and his family. And then I'm thinking of another individual by the name of Carlos. We have a lot of Carloses in our church. This Carlos, when he was 17 years of age, he had come to church. His mother is a member of the church. He had come to church the very Sabbath day after he was born. And he'd been there every Sabbath day, morning and evening, midweek service, young people's meetings. He was always there. And when he came to the age of about 17, Carlos thought that he had had enough of church and of religion. We could see it coming because of the interest, especially with regard to the tendency with his music, heavy metal music, and afterwards I found out that he was indulging in the drugs and all the kind of lifestyle that goes along with that kind of music. Carlos got away from the things of the Lord completely. He got into the world. He tried everything that the world had to offer. He married. His marriage wasn't happy. He divorced. He had a very, very difficult divorce. He took up with another woman with whom he is presently living. Carlos came back to the church about a year and a half ago. He said that he was so tired with life. He said he had tried everything. And life had nothing to offer. The world certainly had nothing to offer. And then he says, I remembered my childhood. He says, I remembered the young people's meetings that we had in your home. And I thought, well, I'll go back. I'll go with my mother to the services. And he did that. And the Lord began to work in Carlos's heart. And Carlos was gloriously saved. And it was one of those dramatic conversions. Carlos was literally dancing and jumping with joy because of what the Lord had done in his heart. His common law wife, Miriam, comes along with him almost every Sabbath morning. Their little son, Lucas, was out at church just like him the very Sabbath day after he was born. And he says, Juan, I want Lucas to have the same privileges I had, but I don't want them to follow my footsteps when he comes to 17 or 18 years of age. So I ask you to pray. Pray for Miriam. Now, Carlos is not a member of the church. He would love to be a member of the church, but because of his circumstances, until he legalizes, he's legally divorced, but he's not yet legally remarried. And so he's in the process of doing that and will be received into membership in our church. But Carlos is praying that before that comes about, Miriam will also come to Christ and will be there on that day when both of them would be received into our church membership. Pray for Carlos. Pray for Miriam and for their little son as well. But then as we lift up our eyes and we're thinking about the work of God there in Madrid, one means that the Lord has really blessed concerning the work in Alcorcón has been our webpage or our webcam broadcasts. That came about because of the request of one family who were members of the church but moved away because of work to live close to the border with Portugal in a little town where there was no church nor even any church close by. And so they asked us, could we do anything? And our son Jonathan came up with the idea of this webcam broadcast. And so from that time, we were broadcasting our services live every Sabbath morning and every Sabbath evening for the benefit of that family. We didn't make it known to anyone else. We didn't do any advertising in any other parts. So it was a surprise to us when I one day received a phone call from Barcelona, a couple who had come from Serbia. They were Orthodox. And when they arrived in Barcelona, one of their neighbors was a believer. And this believer says to them, listen, you want to tune in to these services every Sabbath day. You'll hear the message. You'll hear the message of the gospel. And Dusan and Biba were tuning in every Sabbath day. And he says, the first thing we came to realize was that we weren't Christians. We thought we were, but we weren't. And then he says, we realized that we needed to be Christians, and through the preaching of the gospel, we now are Christians. And he says, I'm calling you up to tell you what the Lord has done for us, but also with the request that they would learn more. And so I commenced a weekly correspondence Bible study with them based on the Westminster Confession of Faith. And for over a year, that couple were studying that Bible course. And it was a joy to see how the Lord was working within their hearts and how they were growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the great truths of the Scriptures. The Wednesday night before we came back, we left on the Thursday. Wednesday night was our midweek prayer meeting. And Angel, after the meeting, said to me, says, Juan, he says, Jonathan was on the phone to me, and he says, there is a man, a pastor, up in the north of Spain in Navarra, who has been in touch with him. He's been following us through the services on the Sabbath day, and he's been interested in all the material that's there in our webpage. He says, I called him up. I talked to him for about half an hour. He comes from a Pentecostal background, but he began some time ago to read Reformed literature and has come into an appreciation of the doctrines of grace. Well, out there, anyone who comes to understand the doctrines of grace, it's like a new conversion to them. And this man was rejoicing in these glorious truths from the Word of God, but hungering for more. And Angel was able to say to him about the different things that we have, that Bible correspondence course based on the Westminster Confession of Faith, and is also interested in coming to study in our Grace Bible Seminary. His name is Luis. We don't know anything more at this present time, but would you pray for Luis? And would you pray for this means through our internet that others would be brought to Christ? About a month ago, another man came into our midweek service. You see, it makes no difference whether it's the Sabbath day or midweek. We can get unsaved people coming in or dropping in at any time. Sometimes they're just passing by and they see the light on and the door's open, and so they'll just drop in. And this man, Carlos, was sent to us by a pastor in the south of Spain. When he moved into there, he says, you must go along to the Christian Presbyterian Church. Carlos came that first Wednesday night after the service. We were talking with him. Carlos describes himself as a Unitarian, but with a desire to learn from the Word of God. And 3 Mondays ago in the afternoon, Angel commenced a personal Bible study with this Carlos, and we ask you to pray for him, pray for his wife as well, that the Lord will use this means to bring them into the glorious truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we have a second command here, don't we? Jesus says to his disciples not only to lift up their eyes, he says, look on the fields. In other words, it's not sufficient just to simply lift up our eyes and look at whatever. No, the Lord wants to direct our gaze. He wants to direct your gaze to the need around where he has placed you in his providence. He's saved you. He's given you a witness. He's given you a message to proclaim. But he's calling you to have a vision to look specifically at that need. Well, this Sabbath morning, in the providence of God, the fact that I'm here and we're focusing on the land of Spain, we obviously want to look, and focus our vision on the need of that mission field. If I were asked to sum up very, very briefly, what would be our ministry? I would have to say we would have to sum it up in two ways. There would, first of all, be an evangelistic emphasis. We try to have that emphasis every time we preach the Word of God, whether the Sabbath morning, Sabbath evening, or in the midweek meeting. We already made reference to Carlos. Other unsaved will come in. So there's always that emphasis in the gospel. It's there in our webpage. As you come in and you can read all the different literature, you'll find there lots of literature challenge you concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our open air market. We have the opportunity on a Tuesday morning to go out into the open air market, set up a table with Bibles and books, and hand out gospel tracts, and all of these are means of seeking to reach others with the gospel. But then a second emphasis would be the discipleship emphasis. See, it's one thing to be an instrument in God's hand bringing sinners to the Savior. And of course, when the Lord's sending his disciples out, he's sending them out to evangelize. But he also sends them out, you remember this is part of the Great Commission, to make disciples in every nation. Now, how do you make disciples? The only way you can make disciples is when a person has come to Christ, is to bring them to the Scriptures, is to bring them and to instruct them in the things of the Lord. Out there in Spain, and I suppose in a sense it's getting that way here in Ulster and in other parts of the world, most of the people are coming in from a background where they know absolutely nothing, zero knowledge of the Word of God. And so it is necessary, and that's why we have these personal Bible studies with them. We'll sit down with them, and we'll take the time, and we'll open the Scriptures. We will study the doctrines of salvation. But then when they come to Christ, we want to lead them on. We want to see them grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an emphasis that we have very particular in our Sabbath school work. We commenced this work way back quite a number of years ago. Like these young people that we're talking about, they've all come through the Sabbath school curriculum, and some of them are now even holding office in the church in Alcorcón. We do emphasize that while we have all this material that we've provided, it's not only for the class. The class is only 3/4 of an hour on the Sabbath afternoon, in our case, before the evening service. But the all-important thing is the home. And it is there where the parents have the responsibility, and we provide the material, not only for the classroom, but also for the home, whereby they can, in their family worship, they can and they ought to instruct and to teach their little ones, catechizing them, teaching them the great truths of the Word of God, helping them to memorize these portions from the Word of God. So pray for all these different means that the Lord is pleased to use. And then we come finally to the last command. We're not only to lift up our eyes and look on the fields, but we're also to labor for the harvest. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Those of you who are farmers here, you know that you can never have a harvest if you don't labor. You have the labor where you put, you prepare the ground, you put in the seed, you look after it during the time, and then you go out and you reap the harvest. And as we think about the Spanish mission field this morning, if there's one thing that we need, it's laborers in that mission field. You've already seen how in the presentation we've emphasized that. We talked about the need and what a need there is. The harvest truly is great as we think about Spain, as we think about Madrid, but the laborers are few. Spain religiously divides up into roughly 75% of the population Roman Catholic. And when I say Roman Catholic, I don't mean practicing Roman Catholic. If I'm talking about practicing Roman Catholic, I'm talking about 10 to 12% of the congregation. So I'm talking about a nation that is generally irreligious, that is generally without any knowledge of the Word of God. Then 1.24% would be Orthodox. How many Protestants do you think we have in Spain? In Protestant Ulster, with the privileges and the blessings that we have. Well, Protestantism in Spain, and I'm opening the sack as wide as possible. I'm taking in everything from one extreme to the other extreme. We have 0.84% of the population that are so-called Protestant. Much less that when we're talking about born-again believers. So, the need certainly is great, and there is an urgency concerning that need. Do you know how long it is since we have had a missionary come from one of our congregations to join with us in spreading the gospel in the land of Spain? You ought to know. Because it was when your missionary came out, Joy Gillespie. How long ago was that? 18 years ago. 18 years have passed since we've seen a missionary come from one of our congregations. Thank God we have Ansel Alvarez. The Lord has been pleased to raise him up 11 years ago, ordained to the ministry. Carlos Corrales, now studying, believing that the Lord has called him. What a need there is this morning as we think of the mission field in Spain. Most people, you know, don't think about Spain as a mission field. It's a place for your vacations, the place for your holidays. Most people go to Spain for their holidays and they only see what is the tourist areas around the coast. They never get inland. They never see all the towns and the cities and the villages. They never see the tremendous need that we have there of those places that are without any gospel witness whatsoever. We need laborers. And you're saying to yourself perhaps this morning, well, I know that God hasn't called me to be a laborer. I am absolutely certain of that. And I'm glad of that. And I know, and everyone ought to know their own vocation. You ought to know the place where the Lord has called you to be. And you ought to serve the Lord there. But you know, you can't wash your hands concerning this mission field and the need that's here. Because when we talk about laborers, the Lord said to the disciples when he sent out the 12 and when he sent out the 70, he repeated it. He says, the harvest truly is greater, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And what does he say? He says, pray ye therefore. Pray ye therefore. What's the therefore referring to? It's referring to the tremendous need. The harvest being plenteous, the laborers are few. The urgency of the need. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest. My, what an encouragement that is. We're coming to the God who is sovereign, who knows no impossibilities. How many times we've been like Israel? We as a family, I as an individual. Like Israel before the Red Sea, it's impossible to go forward. And God says, say unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And there's the obstacle before you. The need is so great. Can't meet that need. Well, you know the Lord has answered prayer. I've referred to these different cases. God has done that in answer to your prayers. Will you take upon your heart afresh this morning to pray with us? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers from the different congregations of our denominations. But why not again from this congregation? Pray the Lord of the harvest. And if you're here, a young person this morning, and you have that burden upon your heart, and you've been praying, it could well be the Lord will say to you, well, I want you in answer to the prayers of God's people in your congregation. May it please the Lord to stir all of our hearts. May it please the Lord to give us this spiritual vision, especially concerning Spain. Our brothers mentioned other places, but my heart's in Spain, so therefore I'm going to be talking to you about that burden. Will you pray with us? Pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest field. I thank you for your attention.